Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome to Sunday morning service. We've already had a great time, and God is so faithful. Just want to say to the ladies that we had a wonderful, wonderful meeting. I think we have about 13 people that came out this week, and we had a great time this month and planning on next month. So much the men had a great, great meeting also. So God is just moving, and you know, most of you know that we are certainly standing with Israel, as you can see our screens, and America stands with Israel. But I just want to say that does not mean we're anti-Palestine. That does not mean that we don't understand, you know, what's going on, and that they're human beings that are being hurt. So we pray for everyone. We pray for everyone. That's really the side we're on, is God's side. So let's continue to do that and be in prayer about this situation.
Yeah, you know, Paul said his citizenship was in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? It's the kingdom. Yeah, I mean, there's so many divisions and things with politics, but remember, our kingdom is heaven. Our kingdom is heaven. And Jesus truly does love every single person on the earth. There's no group that he does not want to be saved. I wanted to also just real quickly, before we get started, I'm going to say a couple of things, but I wanted to encourage everybody that's on the worship team. I've been on worship teams all my life, and there are times when we sing that, for me, it's wonderful, but there are times that you sing that maybe, or you play, that you're just not feeling it. But I wanted to tell you something. If you're singing or playing an instrument on the worship team, I used to say you were only singing to God, and that's true. You are singing to God, and that does change how we worship, right? Because it's like, I'm not just singing to a small church; I'm singing to my Heavenly Father. So you have that audience of one. I like that thought. I'm singing to an audience of one. But I want to say that that's not entirely true, that we're only singing to God. There are people that are in the audience that are receiving because of your singing, because of your playing, that you are ministering. And it could be that I'm playing a song and not feeling it for whatever reason, but it could be greatly ministering to people. So let's remember that I mean, that was the lesson from I forgot who it was. It might have been Oral Roberts, had a healing ministry. And one time he was just dead tired, and he was just not feeling it. And a lady came for prayer, and he said, "What do you need?" And she said, "I have terminal cancer, and I need healing." And Brother Roberts told her, he said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I'm just exhausted." And he said, "I just don't know if I can do this." And she rebuked him, and she said, "I didn't come for you to pray for me. I came for Jesus to heal me." And she said, "I don't care how you feel. You just pray." And he told that story on himself because he realized that she was right, that it's never our strength. So I wanted to tell the worship team, I have received so much from our church music throughout the years. Tony, you've never had an off service. You have it, because it's the heart of the receiver that is so hungry. And so I just wanted to thank everyone that is on the worship team. And I also want to say that no matter where you sit, you really are on the worship team. You know what I mean? We all join in to worship. So thank you for all the musicians, for all the singers. Everyone sounded so good today. It just ministered to my heart. I was in a place where I just needed to hear some things, and I just let the Lord minister to me that way. He does that so often. I would rather listen to an hour of praise music than an hour of preaching. You probably would. I get more out of it. It just, I don't know, music is so beautiful. I wanted to take 3 or 4 minutes to share what happened at the men's group yesterday, which I so appreciate. The women of the church, I appreciate our men's group. We always have such a good time just reading the scriptures. And Barney, I appreciated your comments yesterday. Barney was talking about the Word of God, how it speaks to us. And so about 14 years ago, I got an electronic Bible. And what was happening in my life is I would always write notes in my Bible, but then the Bible would fall apart, and you would eventually have to throw it away. And I always felt bad because I was losing those notes. Like, Sister Debbie gave me Brother Gill's Bible, and it is totally falling apart. I mean, Brother Gill wore out that Bible, which that's a testament. You should wear out. There's two Bibles I like, brand new ones and ones that have been thoroughly gone through. I like them both, right? Because my notes never go away, what I love is because I've written these years worth of notes all the way back since before 2010, I will see, as I'm reading the Bible, I'll get a revelation of a scripture and I'll think, oh, I got to put that in the notes. And I'll go to type on notes and I'll see a note from 2012. And this is what it almost always is. The same thing I was going to write down as what I put down in 2012. It's like the Holy Spirit. And I didn't remember that. But it's so cool. I'm about to write this paragraph that I just thought of, and it's already written from 2012. And it's like, I like that. I also had a little bit of a sad experience this morning. I was looking up scriptures in Revelation, and back in 2011, I decided to write notes to myself, and I thought, where will I write those notes? Well, I'll write it in Revelation. That way I can always find it. It's the end. And the notes I wrote in 2011 was January 2011. I said, things are not going well. I'm really going through a hard time. And then in March, I wrote, things are just really, really hard. Then a few months later, things remain hard. And I was thinking about that today. Wow, that was 2011. And if I could write a note back to myself in 2011 from 2023, this is what it would be. Things are still really hard, but you're still standing. You still love Jesus. You still love God. You're still faithful to God. So, you know what? Life is precious, life is beautiful, and it is meant to be lived every day. Even with the pain, it's beautiful and it's precious. Can I take a few more minutes?
Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry, but Pam's, but she'll take most of the time anyway. So, Dave Casey's had asked me to think of something for the Last Supper for our men's meeting, so I'm going to do a little bit of a repeat for the men, but I did feel like it was something that God had given me on the Last Supper. So about, 15 years ago, something like that, when Nathan was still, he was like 7 or 8, something like that, or maybe younger. I don't know the exact date, but about 15 years ago, I was picking him up, and he was pretty big at this point. He was a big child. And as I picked him up, because he was hurt or something, he was crying, and the thought occurred to me as I picked him up, because he's so big then, I thought to myself, this could very well be the very last time you pick him up. And I thought, that's kind of a sad thought. But based on that thought, I started thinking, and I have actually been thinking about this for the last 15 years, not about Nathan. Every Christmas, I think to myself, do you realize, Ken, this could be your last Christmas?
He says it every year.
But to say that I've been thinking about it, but it's worse than that. Because every Sunday morning, I say to myself, this might be the last time you get to minister, the last time you get to share the Word of God. Make it like it's your last time. Preach from your heart. Don't just make it a throwaway. Same thing for playing or for singing. It's not a throwaway. And I tell Tony all the time, he'll tell you. I tell Tony, someday when we're 90 years old in a nursing home, we're going to say, if I could just one more time go back and be part of that worship team, just praising God. So the Last Supper, that was the thing. It was the Last Supper. And as I go through life, through the past 15 years, I've said, this might be the last time I say goodbye to this person. This might be the last time. And sometimes that comes to pass. It's like, that was the last time I talked to my dad, but I didn't know it was the last time. That it could be a last birthday. It could be the last time you go golfing. The last time that you have a last supper. Everyone's going to have a last supper. And this is the two lessons that I take from this after thinking about, because you might think that's a negative thought. Well, wow, this might be the last time I'm in church. This could be my last Sunday on earth. It could be any number of things. And you could say that's a sad thought, but after 15 years of thinking about it, I have drawn two conclusions. The first conclusion is this. It's healthy to treat every place that you are at, everything that you do, treat it with the respect it deserves. This is precious time with my family. This is precious time with my church, with my Lord. Embrace that. And what about the sad part? What if it is the last time? There's a word in the Bible that has so much hope built into it that we've all missed it, because you probably couldn't even guess what the word is. It's the word until. Jesus said, this is the last time I'm taking this until we do it in heaven. There was a last time I talked to my father, sad, until I see him in heaven. David said, my son is gone and he cannot come back. However, I can go to him. So there was an until. Now, I want to read just a couple of scriptures, and I'm down to my last 30 seconds, so I'm not going to take a lot of time. John 16:24, Jesus said, watch for the word until. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy be full. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Whatever's happening in the world, whatever's happening in your life, stay faithful until you hear a trumpet. The word and last scripture is from Revelation. But hold, this is from Jesus talking to the church, and then Pam, it's your turn. Hold fast what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my words to the end, I will give power over the nations. And then he says, and I will give unto him the morning star. So I was encouraged by that.
You know, that's a good word of hope, Pastor Ken. It's a great word of hope, in fact, because what I've told a lot of people in life who have, especially people who have regrets in life. There are a lot of people who say, if I could go back and I could do something differently, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I had done this. This scripture tells us that everything can be redeemed, that nothing is unredeemable. Our pain, our suffering, our mistakes can all be redeemed through the cross. And there is no such thing. You know, we call it the Last Supper. But it's not the Last Supper. If we could get our head on straight, it's only the Last Supper on earth. There are so many things that are the last. And, you know, it is good to be mindful of that. I especially right now, and by the way, please do pray for our mom. Our mom is not well. We are very mindful of that right now, even making calls to Ken last night and Sandy having to do that. And we are so mindful that our time on earth is so short, but our time over there will never end. But we do need to make this time count here on earth. Every second should count. I don't want to, every day I say, I don't want to miss anything with my mom. I don't want to miss it because there's going to come a day when I am going to miss it. Does that make sense? I don't want to miss time with you guys. I don't want to just say, well, and let me tell you a personal story that happened in our life. It was someone that I knew, and these people decided kind of to hurt their dad They were having trouble with their dad and their mom, but mostly their dad. They decided that they weren't going to do Christmas with them. May I tell you, it was their last Christmas on earth. They didn't get that back. But here's, and they were grieved about it. They were grieved about it because they're believers. But here's what I told them. Christmas ain't over yet. Christmas is Christ. Christmas is Christ. And so when you see him, it's Christmas all over. So it's not the end. Anything can be redeemable. So please remember that. And at the same time, redeem the time because the days are evil. And we're talking this morning. We're going to actually be talking about fear for a few minutes because we're hearing from so many people that are, should we come to church? Or our church is going to be under siege? What's going on? A lot's going on in the world. And can I just shoot out there and say, the news coming out of the news media and the world is not good news. And that's a reality, by the way. It's not good news, and I'm not kidding, especially concerning the Middle East, but we need to keep our eyes on the Middle East because Jesus is going to walk through the Eastern Gate. His feet are going to touch the Mount of Olives. It's not about America, people. It's about Israel. It's about our King. Israel's the apple of his eye. And tomorrow I'm hoping to get the John Hagee video, the one that I want, let's say, to share with you. But the enemy knows that his time is evil, and this goes all the way back. This division, this fighting goes all the way back because the word Palestine comes from the word Philistia. We've been fighting the Philistines for a long time. We've been fighting Goliath for a very, very long time, and it's not over yet. But it's going to be over, and it's going to be over soon, and we can see it because the news in our world is troubling, but the kingdom news is good news. I'm telling you, it's good news. It's really good news because people have told you for years, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And let me tell you, we can see it unfolding now that he is coming soon, not soon, sooner than we think, sooner than you think. Sooner than I think. It could happen anytime. And so I say to you today, this is no time to ride the fence. Remember, I told you what that man said. He said he had a dream, and he said in the dream he was standing on the fence, and there was the devil, and there was God, and he's like, ha-ha, I'm on the fence. And the devil came and said, I own the fence. And he does. He owns the fence. He owns the lukewarm person. So this is no time to stand on the fence or sit on the fence. This is no time to sit on a pew and ride the waves. This is no time to miss out. This is no time to say, you know what, I got something else besides. I got something more important to do than go to church. Let me just shoot straight. No, you don't. No, you don't have anything more important. I heard someone say one time, they said it about Alan and I when we were having a class at my house and we had people in the class and they said, that's just for people that have nothing better to do. And I said, and I agree with that. That's for people who have nothing better to do because I don't then study the word, then talk about Jesus, then tell people because the Father's business in these last days is our business. And if you say these people aren't my business, no, I respectfully decline to agree with you. They are our business. This is the Father's business we're in, and his business is souls. But because of fear, he's hoping that when you see these things unfolding, when you see, you know, these people that they're saying, stay away from your Jewish synagogue. You know what? That is not the time to stay away from your Jewish synagogue. It really is not. We don't need to let fear because the enemy, if he can paralyze you, it's like me that time when I thought there was a killer in the basement. And I called my dad and I had the phone and I'm like, Dad, I think he's down there. I can hear him. I can hear knocking and no one's home and Dave's not home. And Dad's like, well, you just need to take the phone and go down there. I'm like, I can't move. I cannot move, Dad. I just cannot move. And he's like, move. It's time to move, he said, because this can set you free. And so that's what I want to tell the church. We have a work to do, and we can't allow the enemy to let fear paralyze us. We just can't. The Bible says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is the number one thing. I said on Monday night, the number two medication is sleep medication. And there, you know what? The others are anxiety medication, depression medication. The Bible says that with thanksgiving, just give your request to God. Just turn it all over to God. Cast your cares on God. And when you cast a fishing, I've seen my husband, and he'll try to teach me, which I'm no good, but he is. And he'll say, cast it as far as you can. I'm not good at casting far, but I'm getting there. We need to cast our sins and our cares onto him because he cares for us. So we need to get excited, even though we see these things in this world and in our city. You know, it's kind of disconcerting when you see it in your city, but that's time to take our city, right? Let's get moving.
Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be healed?" That scripture, what that means is, and we read this in the New Testament, that we are part of the Abrahamic covenant. That out of what God did with the nation of Israel came Jesus and came Christianity. And it's, if y'all know the history of our church, we had started in homes, but there was a Jewish synagogue on Archer Avenue that they worshiped on Saturday, and since we worshiped on Sunday, they let us rent out the Jewish synagogue. And so we came out of the Jewish synagogue to this place, which is kind of what happened spiritually, that we were all children of Abraham. And out of that Old Testament covenant comes we become who we are. So 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares," there's that script casting that Pam was talking about, "on him, for he cares for you." Do you know that every fear that we carry, Jesus always, he carries it too. Every worry that we carry, that's why we cast it on him. That's why we bring our burdens to Jesus. And the hard part isn't bringing our burdens to Jesus. The hard part is leaving them with Jesus. And not, because, you know, sometimes we'll, have you ever fallen into the trap of feeling so guilty about your past sin that you've probably asked forgiveness for that 100 times? Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Do you realize that after God forgives you, you need to forgive yourself and move on? Don't let Satan beat you up on who you were, because that's not who you are. And tell him who he's going to be. Tell him his future address. But fear is the thing that paralyzes. And I'm not sure, I mean, I guess you could say that faith is the opposite of fear. But in a sense, boldness is too. Because fear paralyzes you, where boldness will have you speaking the word boldly. And what is coming out of your mouth is more important than what's happening in the world around you. There are thermostats and there are thermometers. And you can't be a thermometer. Do you know the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer? A thermometer only reacts to what's happening around it. If it's cold, it shows it's cold. It changes with the temperature. It doesn't change the temperature. Thermometers don't change anything. They just give you the bad news. Right? You look at the thermometer, it's 108. You know, you can't like turn down the thermometer, right? You can't adjust the thermometer. But a thermostat, that's prayer. That's when you go, it's hot, turn on the air conditioner. It's cold, turn on the heater. And prayer changes things. And putting your cares on Jesus and having faith in Jesus and trusting in Jesus is the opposite of being paralyzed. And, you know, I don't know that faith always means no fear, but it means you do it even despite the fear. Your knees might be shaking, but you say, still, I can't bow, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar. I can't bow. I can't do it. I've got to stay there. And the first part of that talked about humility. I really think that God cannot use us if we think that we have our own abilities. The gifts of God mean two things. It means, number one, you can't earn God's gifts. So if God gifts you in an area, it is a gift. And second, you can't brag about it. If God is using you mightily, you can't say, look at me, look at me. Having a humble heart is the only way to relate to people. Screaming at them that they're going to hell will only push them into hell. Telling them gently that Jesus loves them will be attractive.
Let me give you an illustration about peace. And I agree, faith doesn't mean that you don't have fear. Faith means you overcome the fear. There's a difference. How I learned about peace was in 2006, you know, I was very, very ill and I had lost 30 pounds, which I have successfully found back. But I had went to the doctor for extreme anxiety and just anxious all the time, stressful all the time. And one of the things the doctor said to me is, well, you need to lay under a cool fan, take a cool bath, and, you know, do some of those things. And it did not work. It did not cure my lack of peace or anxiety. So then they gave me medication where I would be taking anti-anxiety medication. Didn't work. Same thing happened to Sandra last year when she was taking the steroids, and the doctor said, you know, she's going to have to take these steroids. She cried all the time. She was anxious all the time. We'd be at a restaurant, cheesecake, and we'd have to leave because she was crying and so anxious. And they gave her the steroids and didn't do anything except make it worse. And then they told Dan and I, we cannot take her off the steroids. That just isn't done. That'll hurt her even worse. And Dan and I said, watch us. Watch us. Can't take her off cold turkey. Watch us. And we did. But the thing that helped her was coming to the altar of God when she said, Mom, it's time for me to call for the elders of the church and have them to pray, anoint me, and do what the Bible says. And the same exact thing happened to me. And I want to say something about peace. The world has what I would like to call a created peace. They try to create their peace. In other words, they try to do things that will bring peace. But I want to tell you, there is absolutely no peace at all in your life without Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. There will be no peace except a peace that is supernatural. And I want to explain that a little bit, because the world says they have peace when nothing is wrong. The kids, there's money in the bank. The kids are asleep in the next room. Nothing is going wrong. That's based on circumstance. We have to have an inner peace that's with us all the time. When the world is falling apart, when the stars fall from the sky, when we get bad news like Job gets, we have to have a peace that we have a confidence. A confidence in our God and who he is, not in what he does. Well, I want you to hear that again. I don't have peace because of what he does or doesn't do. I have peace because of who he is. He is Jesus, our Prince of Peace. And I heard a very heartbreaking story out of Israel, but it's one of the most encouraging stories I have ever heard in my entire life. How many of you believe that you would rejoice and say, thank you, God, and drop to your knees if you just heard that your 9-year-old daughter had just been bombed and killed? How many of you would drop to your knees and say, Lord, you are good. You are good. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this situation. Let me tell you what happened. His name was Hans. He's in Israel. And his 9-year-old daughter had been kidnapped by Hamas. This is a true story. Just happened 3 days ago. She had been kidnapped by Hamas, and he was praying. And he got news that they had her body, that she had been in the bombs and that had been bombed in the kibbutz that she lived in. And he dropped to his knees and said, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, praise you, God, thank you, Jesus. And when asked, people asked him, said, why are you praising God? He said, do you know what happens to young girls? And do you know the torture that they're beheading people? They're raping people. They're taking hot branding irons to people. They're stabbing them, dismembering them alive. He said, my daughter just went straight up to heaven, and I have nothing but praise for God. Who does that? But if you have an eternal perspective on things, and you can thank God, and you can have a peace of God, he said, now my soul can rest. Now I have peace knowing that she is with the Father. Life is hard. I'm not kidding you. Life is hard. It's really hard. Like Pastor Ken said, anybody, I was kind of almost laughing when he was writing what he's writing in his Bible. Life is hard. I just go through the Bible and go, it's harder. It's harder. It's harder. It's harder. The fire's hotter. The fire's hotter. But he is still good. There's no doubt that life is hard. But God is still good. And he's going to end all of the suffering one day. And when we walk through, and that's something I was sharing with my mom last night in talking about eternity, because she's realizing she believes that she's extremely close. And I would agree with that. Today, our dad would have been 90 years old on this day. But I want to tell you, we talk more and more about eternity, but because the Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, I don't long for good things here on this earth. I know that things are not so good here on this earth, but I long for heaven. But while I'm here, I'm going to take as many people as I can. The other day, I had a dream about heaven, and I shared that on Sunday night, but it is just going to be the most glorious thing you could ever. So we're going to endure till the end, and we're going to ask God to give us peace. No matter, regardless of our circumstances, if someone comes in here and gives us bad news right now, regardless of our circumstance, he is good. I'm on my way to heaven. I always tell people because it just so fits right now because I just turned 67. 67 on my way to heaven.
Hey, I'm glad that you're going to heaven, Pam, because when we were much younger, I walked in the house expecting to see three or four people, and my mom wasn't there, and called in my other sisters, and there's no one there, and the thought hit me, oh, the rapture might have happened, you know, and I missed it, you know, and then I heard Pam, and then I thought, the rapture still could have happened. This is not any evidence of anything at this point. I need to know if Dad's around. No, I knew. We missed it. But things, when, you know, disasters are not planned. It's kind of, whenever there's a disaster, it doesn't matter what it is. Everyone's pointing fingers. It was this one's fault. It was that one's fault. But you don't get to plan earthquakes and tornadoes and meteors. And no matter how much planning you do, suddenly things happen. And by the way, if you say, why don't we as a church just pray that nothing bad happens? Because I've read the Bible, and the book of Revelation says there's going to be a tribulation that's going to last 7 years. Don't pray against it. Pray. Jesus said to rejoice when those things happen. And you know what? When we do go through the tribulation, it's going to be a lot clearer what the timeline is. When we see the temple set up, and we see that after the 3.5 years and the abomination, desolation, the rise of the Antichrist, we're going to be able to say this is the halfway point. I think we'll be able to pick that out and say this is 3.5. And I don't know exactly when Jesus comes. Of course, no one does. The point is, though, to be ready for it, to be ready for anything. You know, you talk about when hard times come and, you know, people flee from Christianity and stuff like that. We've read all of our life about churches in China that were persecuted, haven't we? And about our brothers and sisters. Do we read stories that they forbid church and so the church just closed down? Did they just say, okay, hey, if it's forbidden, you know, I'll join the VFW, I'll do something else with my time. What did those churches do in China? What did those churches do in Russia? They call them an underground church. They would meet in their churches despite the threat of being arrested. They would meet in homes. They would publish Bibles. And all the stories of persecution, the more you squeeze a grape, the more juice comes out. And every story of persecution ends up with revival. It ends up with more people being, and I love that story about the very first Bibles that were printed when they first had the printing press. They spent every money to print the Bible, and they so hated the Bible that this was the plan. They bought every copy of the Bible and burned it, so there was no more Bibles. And they made all that money that when they bought the Bibles, so they took all that money and they made so many more. They were able to make like 10 times more Bibles because they had the money that. So it just, everything that they did caused it to spread. And throughout history, there have been men that have said, "We are wiping the Bible off the face of the earth," but God's word cannot be contained. Not only that, but I'm here to tell you that you can trust God's word. He watches over his word. How do I know that's the Bible? Because he watches over his word. How do I know it's the Bible? Because it's the only Bible out of all the religions that tells you what's going to happen before it happens. You know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, was written in the Old Testament, not 30 years after he was born. It was written in the Old Testament. He would be from the lineage of David. It was written in the Old Testament how he would suffer, even what he would say on the cross. There's so many prophecies, and I counted up all the Bible prophecies. The percentage that came to pass and the percentage that didn't come to pass is zero. Every word has come to pass. And you take hope in the fact that Jesus said, I'm coming soon. You know what that means? He's coming soon. I don't know what's going to happen except that there's going to be tribulation and it's going to be bad. But I know this. If you're looking for this church to close, it's not closing. Because when you come on the worst day of the United States, whatever that is in the future, when you come to this church, Debbie Ramos will be here, won't you, Debbie? Debbie's going to be here. We got one, and Tony's going to be here, right? And Frida and Tony's going to be here. We're going to be here. This church is God's church, a church not built by human hands. Every time I see these wooden pillars, they support this church. It's the cross. It's the wood. And if you trace back the wood, where'd that wood come from? Well, it had a mother and father tree. It had a tree above, and then just like a grandchild, the grand tree, the great grand tree, the great great great. You keep going back. You go all the way to the garden. You know that cross up there means everything to me. It's a wooden cross. So yes, there may be hard times coming, but do you know what? God will be there for us. You think he's not going to feed you? He's going to feed you. He's going to take care of you. He just asked us to hold on until the end.
It's so true, and it would be good for us to all read Psalm 91 on repeat. Seriously. Psalm of protection, a psalm of comfort. You know, I said one time to one of my children, I was talking to my children, I said, if they were worried and concerned about something, I said, has worry and fear ever helped you? Was there ever a time when you said, I worried my way out of that problem for sure? I was so afraid that it just went away. It never works. If it works, do it. It does not work. It does not help you in any way. And I remember the night, and you've probably heard me tell this, when Hope came into my room when they were staying with me, and Hope came into my room, and then, of course, Kaylee was not far behind her, and they were just so terrified. I mean, the storm, the lightning, just everything. And Hope was like, make it go away. Granny, you can pray and it will go away. And I said, well, you know, this is the thing. I'm not in charge of the storm, but I know someone who calms the storm and who he will calm us too in the middle of the storm. And it was really not long until we started talking about the rain and the benefit of the storms and how no storm ever stays, that it's going to be gone soon. And it wasn't long till she fell asleep. She was the first one to fall asleep. But it wasn't that. It was the presence. I was there. And I was talking about the Lord. The Lord was present. The Holy Spirit was present. In his presence, there is peace, in the presence of the Lord. And no matter what happens, we can have peace in the presence of the Lord. I can imagine Joseph in the pit. I can imagine him in the pit and in the prison and how he must have felt when everything came against him. And, you know, but the Bible says that God is our refuge. He's a present help. His presence is our help. That tells us when the scripture says in Psalm 46, 1-3, we're not getting this. A very present help means his presence is our help in time of trouble. So we will not fear. So will, the word will indicates choice. It means I can say, I will fear, I will not fear. I will not fear because God is with me. And, you know, that's the key. That's the reason that we don't need to fear, is because God is with us all the time. He never said that he was going to leave. I think one of my favorite things about the Holy Spirit is, in the Bible, we see God in the Old Testament. Then we see Jesus come on the scene, and Jesus, he died, he was crucified, buried, and he said, I'm going away. He didn't keep that a secret from us, like I'm just going to disappear one day. He said, I am going away. He said, but I'm going to send someone who's greater than me. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. The Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good. Peace in there. So he sent the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He's never gone away. He never said, and I'm going away now too. He's still here. The Holy Spirit of God is with us. So let's hang on to his presence.
As we get ready to close, Pam, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I really was just blessed out of my socks on Monday night when Pam shared her vision of heaven. And I was thinking to myself, everyone needs to hear this. You don't have to do this, but are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I really think you'll be blessed by this. All right. Thank you.
It was interesting. As I said, my mom is preparing for heaven, and pretty quickly, it seems like. And so we talk a lot about it. And one night, I went to sleep, and I had a dream, like a vision in a dream, and it was heaven. And I had been asking God, you know, what's it going to be like? And I just felt him say in this dream, do you really want to know? And I said, I do. I do want to know what it's going to be like. And even though the dream was so profound and so amazing to me, it was the feeling of the dream that I could never explain to you just last week. But a couple of interesting things happened. I've seen so many people. I mean, there were people I had forgotten about, that I had forgotten they even existed on earth, and they were standing in front of me. I seen people of this church, all kinds of people. I got to talk to Pastor Gil and to Tato and to Diana and to Mercedes. So many, many Sister Rose people. And then my father came. And this is where it takes a turn that was shocking to me. And I mean shocking. My father had with him a little boy that appeared to be maybe 6, 7, around that age, a little boy. And he handed me the little boy. And I said, "What?" And he said, "He's yours." And I looked at my dad, and in one instant, I knew. I have told this before. I had an abortion many years ago, and I knew it was heaven. And I thought to myself, God, and I was meeting people, new people that I'd never met. People, my mother's parents came up to me and said, "We are Luther and Adi." I knew in an instant, that's the name of my mother's parents. Her brother, I mean, just, and his wife, and they were just, it was so overwhelming that I thought I couldn't handle the dream. Have you ever had something so, an experience so overwhelming that you couldn't handle it? And I just almost couldn't handle it when I woke up. And then I felt the Lord talk to me later in the day and tell me, that dream is about you, but it's not too. It's what your mother's going to see very soon. It blessed me. I called Ken, and I'm just like, I have to tell you this. I have to tell you what's going to meet Mom when she gets there. There's going to be people. Lucy's brother, Jesse, was there. I just did Jesse's funeral not long ago. It was just amazing, just more than amazing, just more than amazing to me. I saw Janice's mother, just people that I had never, ever, you know, you know people, but you don't think of them on a day-to-day constant basis. And usually when I think of heaven, to be quite honest, I think of Bill, who was there. I think of Bill and my dad, my grandma. That's about it. But when I had this vision and this, it was everybody. Let's stand. And that just gave me such an encouragement to go on and to talk to people and want to bring people. But I knew things, and also, too, and I won't go into it, but I just knew things when I was there. And God just helped me in such a way to understand, you think of heaven as glorious, but it's not the streets of gold. And here's something that I found very interesting. I didn't notice any streets of gold. I literally, I kid you not, standing in heaven, I noticed nothing but Jesus and all the people. I couldn't tell you if there were windows or doors or anything. Some people say they have visions of heaven, and they can tell you, oh, it was beautiful, and there were colors and things. I couldn't tell you nothing except who was there. Willie's mother was there. Raina was there. There's people that were in heaven, that, and I met their families and things. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for peace. We just want to take a time and worship you now. Just lift your hands and thank him. Thank him for the hope we have and the peace we have. Thank you, Jesus, for peace. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Gio, could you up the piano just a little bit? Thank you, Jesus. I ask, Father God, now that you would give everyone Father God, peace that passes understanding, no matter what they're going through, no matter what their circumstance, Father God. In the name of Jesus, just put a supernatural peace, not peace as the world gives, but peace as a supernatural peace, Father God. I ask, Father God, that you would give them, each of them, dreams and visions, Father God. I ask that you would put a hope of heaven in their hearts, Father God. Father God, give them hope, Father God, for their situation, Father God. Make the wrong things right. Heal bodies, Father God, in Jesus' name. Frida, would you come up? I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for Frida. God's just been putting you on my heart, Frida, over and over again. Can you just lift your hands towards Frida? And we're just going to pray for her. And we may do this from time to time. Father, I just ask you for Frida, Father God. She's such a blessing to all of us. Father God, she goes above and beyond. Father God, she does things, Father God. She's a trailblazer, Lord. Father God, and you've got great plans for her ahead as she retires from the world and enters into kingdom ministry full time, Father God. You've got great, great plans for her. Father God, she's personally blessed me, Father God. Father, as a friend like I've never had before. Father God, we ask for your anointing to be upon her. We ask for every situation in her life to be made right, Father God. Father God, we ask for all of her family members to be saved, Father God, for you to use her, Father God, to spread love, Father God, and peace, Father God. Let her words, Father God, bring comfort to others and joy, Father God, encourage them. Father God, we ask that you encourage her so that she can encourage other people, Father God. Increase the anointing upon her life, Father God. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for your goodness, Father. And we appreciate our sister in Christ, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is with us. Go home, be blessed. Have a wonderful dinner, meal.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.